Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is an official podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Becca Barris, writer and copy editor for the Journal of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who work in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the field. These are people who represent the cutting edge in emergency dispatch, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. In today's episode, we're continuing the discussion about resources for women working in 911, whether in the public sector or private sector. I've asked the co-chairs of NINA's Women in 911, or WIN, Alliance to share their insight. Chandi Ghosh is the Chief Operating Officer of 911 and Emergency Services at IntelliQuint, and Monica Million is immediate past president of NINA. Welcome, Chandi and Monica.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here with us to chat about this topic. So the first question is, how and when did Women in 911 start? What made NINA think that this was a worthwhile project to invest in?
So this is Chandi. So I wanted to start a couple of years ago. Over the last 5-6 years, I've been attending all the NINA and APCO conferences. And what I would notice is there were two primary tracks that would happen in parallel. One was the technology private sector, and one was much more of the public sector PSAP-facing sessions. And I was always involved in the technology private sector sessions, but I always noticed that the public sector PSAP sessions were, you know, always packed, and there was a lot of back and forth and conversation. So I decided to start attending a couple of those. And a lot of the conversation was about resource constraints, stress, PTSD. As we all now know, about 20% of 911 dispatchers suffer PTSD symptoms. And in these sessions, all the women were so interactive and emotional and sharing experiences, helping each other out. So I found it really interesting. And so after those sessions, I would talk to a couple of these women to ask, you know, once the conference is over, what resources do you have that are available to share these same experiences and continue the conversation? And each time I came up empty. So basically, there were no other resources for women in 911 to share their thoughts, their emotions, their feelings, how they want to respond to things, et cetera. So then I sat down, you know, to start putting some ideas and thoughts on paper and pitched the idea to NINA. They were very excited and realized that this was a huge gap that could be filled, and immediately suggested that I work and partner with Monica, who was soon to be the NINA president. And in my opinion, that was the perfect union. She's as passionate as I am, and then it was a public sector and private sector partnership too. So to me, it was, you know, the right partnership to get this kicked off. Right, Monica?
Yeah, 100%, Chandi. And Chandi and I met for lunch over in Golden. She shared with me some of her ideas, and having been on the public sector side of 911 a little bit less than the time that Chandi's been on the private sector side, I recognize the same things that she saw. And there really has not been resource, if you will, for the women in our industry. So we sat, we talked, we were very excited. And we started thinking about who did we know in the industry, other female professionals that could help us really launch this whole Women in 911 concept. As Chandi said, NINA was very excited to partner with us to get this initiative announced. And I was very excited to announce it at the NINA National Conference as part of our initiative to really start building out a set of resources and to come up with a, you know, vision, mission, objectives of how we could best serve the women in our profession.
So just to add to that a little bit, you know, we started getting lots of volunteers also. And we actually launched our first in-person event, WIN event, at National NINA in June of 2019. And the response was overwhelming. We had the entire upper floor of the restaurant at Gaylord Orlando, but it was not enough. There were so many women, and we had to actually turn them away. I mean, it shattered our expectations.
It shattered our expectations, and frankly, it was kind of awe-inspiring. But it also validated for Chandy and I that we were resonating with the women in the profession. They were all feeling the same thing. And we shared what our strategy was. We asked the women who all participated in that first in-person meeting for their input, some feedback. What would it be they would want us to provide for them as tools and resources? And frankly, again, with such an overwhelming number of people who showed up, we ended up with a ton of ideas that we've really put as a priority list to help us move forward.
So it sounds like it's a relatively young organization, right? But a really, really essential resource. What are the numbers or figures on gender disparity in 911? Because I've heard that the workforce, in dispatch at least, is overwhelmingly made up of women, but that the leadership positions don't usually reflect that. What's your insight on that?
So really, I could say that about 75 to 80% of the workforce is female. But when you get into the leadership role, Rebecca, you said it exactly right. Especially a couple of years ago, it was more like 75% of them were male in the leadership role and 25 to 30% were women. I would say that that number is starting to swing, that pendulum is starting to swing in the other direction. But again, trying to build up and give women the opportunity to do some professional development and growth so that they can compete in what has traditionally been a male-dominated segment of our industry, and that's men in the leadership roles.
Yeah, so some of the feedback that we received at that WIN kickoff, I mean, literally 160 suggestions we got. A lot of it was very eye-opening. So I'll just give you a couple of examples which kind of reflect exactly what Monica was talking about. They wanted sessions on how should we manage our emotions and avoid being labeled emotional, hysterical, and bottling up our feelings. So, you know, how do we drive this culture change so that there isn't this kind of bullying that they're perceiving? So that's one whole aspect of things. Another whole aspect is we want to find happiness in this field, but this field doesn't value us as women. And why is it that we suffer the consequences from mistakes and then also the equal pay in our positions? It's very disparate. And so the other part of it is, you know, how do we as a community of women then learn and lean on one another to make it better?
Yeah, I really like what you said there about us leaning on each other and making it better, which brings me to my next talking point. One of the objectives of WIN is providing mentorship and training opportunities for women. So tell me about that and why it's important.
What I'd like to start with is maybe just share what our objectives are, and then we'll get into the mentoring piece.
Yeah, sure thing.
We have six primary objectives. The first one is sharing resources and experiences for growth and development. And we offer that through our WIN events, the quarterly webinars, etc. The second one is to build leadership skills and knowledge. And again, we pick topics that are very relevant for our quarterly webinars so that there's knowledge being imparted in these. The third one is building networks to harness the power of this community. And we have live in-person events at conferences. We are planning now a happy hour for women in 911, so just to network. The fourth one is to drive diversity in 911 via positions, via panels, et cetera. And we already started on that, and we'll talk about that. The fifth one is promoting women's achievements. You know, when somebody does do something great, especially during this COVID times, I've heard there've been several superheroes, how do we promote their achievements? And the last one, as you just mentioned, near and dear to all our hearts, is mentoring and training. And so this quarter, we have kicked off some very exciting things about mentoring, and we're very excited about this opportunity and the anticipated impact. And Monica, I know mentoring is a huge passion for you.
Absolutely. And I was honored, really. Mentoring was the first topic of our first webinar. and our webinar series has actually been very, very successful. The numbers speak for themselves. And as a matter of fact, they're some of the highest attended webinars NENA, the entire association, has ever produced. So again, just another validation that we are hitting the pulse of what our membership needs. And as Chandy was saying, we announced our mentoring capability just this quarter. NENA already had a platform for mentoring tools, but we have worked with NENA to really enhance the platform as it existed, to really begin to build out those specific criteria that the feedback we received from our members shared with us, what they want to do with a mentoring platform and how they can best select a mentor that fits what their professional growth and development plan is. Our third quarter webinar is actually focused on mentoring again and how to best utilize it to build our career. And we're also doing a mentoring tool to show our members how to use the tool. I have been a user, believer, proponent of mentoring since I was 21 years old and promoted. Aerospace was my first career. Again, a male-dominated industry, and I really used a mentor to help me break through some of the thresholds, challenges, roadblocks, if you will, in that industry. And I've really been, still a proponent as I've moved into 911 and seeing very similar disparities, if you will, in men and women in the leadership roles. So using this tool, we're super excited to announce it this quarter and to really get the tool out. And we think it's going to be really fantastic. And, you know, because oftentimes people just don't even know how do I select a mentor? How do I build a relationship with somebody? What should I expect out of the relationship? And those kinds of things. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of needing to know the expectation of this mentor relationship before going into it. But yeah, that's an important thing to know what you're trying to get out of something if you're going to enter into it. So what are some examples you've seen of women succeeding in their roles or getting new opportunities because of WIN?
I'll lead off with that. You know, the interesting thing is one of the examples that Chandy mentioned right at the beginning, we've been working around women in our profession and the lack of confidence sometimes in just applying for the position or talking through how to prepare for the interview, how to prepare for the process. And I think what WIN has generated, I have two examples in my home state here of Colorado, two young ladies, new supervisors who just needed some encouragement, very intelligent, had been in the profession for several years, really maybe lacked the self-confidence to even put themselves out there. And I think oftentimes as women, we need our community, just that extra encouragement that you can do this. And in those two specific examples, both young ladies applied for manager or director positions here in our state, and they were successful in getting the job. I had one of the young ladies reach out to me to talk through, you know, what are some coaching opportunities. She gave me some of her performance issues and things that she's done to mitigate her challenges. And another young lady approached one of the other ladies that's on our committee. And it's just having the resource at your fingertips that sometimes people just don't know what to do, what to ask, or how to leverage the strengths we have, each one of us has, to enable them to reach their goals.
And Monica, I think both of us have had, you know, women randomly come up to us at these conferences saying, you know, how a WIN has impacted them and how happy they are that such a resource is available.
Absolutely.
So one instance that I'd like to share in this question about women succeeding because of WIN. So we had the NENA Standards and Best Practices Conference earlier this year, and we had this big WIN event one of the evenings. And several women came in, and we had planned this event where we said, okay, just to get your career on track, you need that visibility. When we would love to have you attend and become board members on several of these standards boards, defining new best practices for PFAS, all these different things, but they're looking for people to become a member of and drive the conversation. So we were talking about that when, and we wanted the feedback from these women at the WIN event. And what was very, again, eye-opening for me was that the first thing that we learned was women saying, oh, we are so intimidated. We cannot even imagine joining those boards. All those men who are leading those boards, they are brilliant and they are so intimidating. We wouldn't even know where to start. And the light bulb went off. And now we know why there are such few women on those boards. And we worked as a whole big group coming up with suggestions like, the minute somebody wants to join a board, let's say a certain standards board, we have to institute a welcome meeting for them, get them introduced to everybody else, and then have a mentor assigned to them on that board so that they then get a voice. Because very often, even though you do take that first step and you get on the board, you're too scared to say anything. And so how do you get that mentor who's going to say, what do you think, so-and-so, you know, and what is your opinion, and those kind of things. So this was a huge eye-opening thing for me, and we came up with so many ideas and thoughts.
And I would just like to add in, just to be clear, these were very intelligent tech women in our industry. And like Chandy said, it was really eye-opening because really these are fundamentally the people who are getting the technology to whatever platform their companies are selling. And it was really kind of lifting the shade, if you will, on some of the challenges that we didn't understand why we couldn't get them to be involved. And as Chandy said, they were very candid during the conversations that we had about their lack of confidence in just participating in these best practice bodies. So as Chandy described, we got a lot of suggestions of how we could help them become more engaged in the process.
Yeah, that's very eye-opening, very telling, because it does make such a huge difference when you have someone in your corner, when you're in a meeting and you're new and you have a lot of ideas, but you don't quite know how everything works. You don't really know the dynamic, but it just makes such a huge difference to have someone who's your mentor or your ally to say, hey, why don't you share your ideas about this? Because then you feel more included, more integrated into the group.
Absolutely.
So before we go, Chandy and Monica, what are some key takeaways you'd like the listeners to come away with?
So as the chairs of WIN, Monica and I are extremely passionate about this initiative, and we want to see this really grow, succeed, and help women, right? When we combine the power of women, our potential is endless. So we'd like to request any woman who's involved with 911 to please join our WIN Alliance on the NINA platform, bring a friend, and use our hashtag #WomenIn911 to spread the message. We would like every woman connected to 911 to become a member so we can deliver on our vision, our WIN vision, which is to be the premier resource to empower women in 911 to reach their full potential. So we want to help everybody.
Absolutely. You know, all we've done so far is we've just chipped the edge of the sculpture, if you will. And as Chandy said, we're both extremely passionate about the topic. We'll continue to look at our membership options under our NINA platform. And really right now where the NINA platform resides is really in the North American continent, so Canada, Mexico, the U.S. But recently, NINA's partnered with some of our international affiliates, other 911 or three-digit emergency number services. And I have to share with you the thing that I've learned in that endeavor is that they have the exact same disparate male versus female situation as we do here in North America. So how can we now expand this into a global resource for women all over the world and empowering women all over the world in emergency number services? And when I start thinking that, then my brain just goes super excited. But there's really no limit, and there is so much talent, and there is so much expertise from the women in this profession, in this industry. And all I want us to be able to do is leverage that for the betterment of each other and how we can continue to encourage and grow and develop the women in our profession. That's the vision for our future.
So just to add one last thing about this, you know, with no funding, literally, we have not asked for funding from anybody. We have added so much value. Can you imagine if this truly becomes a funded initiative? The potential is endless.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch WIN grow, and I'm excited for our listeners to join up and find out more about it. As always, we will have links in the show notes so that you can learn more about Women in 911 and learn more about Chandy and Monica's initiatives and their projects. And we, again, are so glad to have you on the podcast today, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Dispatch in Depth. Remember, it really helps if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch in Depth is hosted by me, Becca Barris. I'm also the technical director and producer, and Matthew Maiko is the executive producer.